Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Technically live on Instagram at the same time. You can check it out over there if you want to look at it, but it's a sort of behind the scenes view. We have one main thing to talk about today, and that is the AstraZeneca vaccine. I wasn't actually going to go live with a show today, but I decided I want to talk about this just because of how prominent this is right now and how many points can be made around just this one thing. It's really interesting. But on that, before I get into that, had a really interesting interview with Rosemary Frey today on the PCR test and the variants and how they're not safety testing for vaccines going forward. Excuse me. As well as, I'm not even going to try to mispronounce his name. I don't have it written in front of me. But the German, I believe, or Dutch gentleman that was talking about the variants and how we should be using vaccines, but not these ones. And it's been this real big rage lately. We talked about that a little bit as well. So I recommend you check it out. Very interesting discussion. A lot to be said there. But we're going to talk mostly about AstraZeneca, or entirely for the most part, maybe a little bit of the vanishing flu at the end of the show today, but that'll be the focus. And of course, eugenics, because it's hard to miss that on this topic. But before we get to that, I wanted to make sure to point something out for everybody. We are now on, thanks to Derek Rose, actually, I haven't even told him this, but I saw him share this yesterday, the day before, and I decided to join this platform as well. Not very familiar with it, but at the end of the day, you guys supporting this platform, sharing the work, really just sharing the work and being here and talking and thinking and researching is all I want. That's it. But as you guys know, I can't do this without the support of you because I'm not doing advertising or anything else. So if you choose to support this platform, not because you get a mug or a t-shirt, and I'm not disparaging that, but here, it's just because you believe in what we're doing and you want this to continue. So on this platform, which is buymeacoffee.com, which is an odd platform because you have to enter in buy the Last American Vagabond A and then fill in the blank. I didn't know what to write right there. So I put A supporter in the parentheses you, because I'm not trying to give, it's just about your support. That's it. So I set it up to where you could do different varying prices if you so choose, or you could do a one-time support payment, I believe. You guys can do what you want with it. At the end of the day, it's about how you can choose to support The Last American Vagabond. And there will be more coming your way, as well as with a new platform coming soon that will be making Patreon, as well as a lot of other things, obsolete. Now, one more point that I just had to make today because it just made me laugh. There's this story that's all the rage right now in mainstream circles and just all these different, you know, it's kind of one of those side stories that's not really important, but it's a big, in this case, a big explosion. And it was a bunch of fireworks in somebody's house, apparently, that just made this big explosion. It caught on tape, and it rightly so. It was pretty interesting. You can see it right here. It's pretty crazy. And that person's right there. Now, just to make this point, it's on Twitter. This is publicly shared, meaning pretty much anybody can share it and use it. If you're pointing back to this tweet, here's why I saw it, right? And in fact, the video, I believe, was from this platform and this person in general. But what's funny about it is I'm playing this because it's called fair use, and you're able to use these things and report on them, not in general. And this is the same thing we're allowed to do with mainstream media reporting. If they make a report, we can point to it, show you parts of it, and give us our dialogue, making sure that the audio was correct, and give us our conversation on that topic. But here's what's funny. It's just like the first 45 comments are, hey, did you take this video? Fox LA 11. Can we get you permission to use it? Do we have anybody else's permission? What else do we need? And it's just so funny. ABC, Associated Press, all of them. Like, it goes on forever. And I just said, hey, mainstream media, can you not bomb the comments with your effort to appear to care about sourcing? If you mindlessly report what the intelligence community tells you, or mindlessly repeat what extremists say, such as Syrian moderate rebels, you don't care about sources. It's on Twitter. Do you not understand fair use? Like, it just makes me laugh. The point is, they are aware of that. This is about giving you the impression that they're out there doing their due diligence, which I don't think is happening at all. Anyway, I just thought that was a humorous point because it really seems redundant and unnecessary. I mean, the point is you're able to do what I just did exactly the same way I did, even on mainstream or anywhere else, because this is called fair use. And even though they censor our content when we try to do the same, which, you know, kind of makes sense in an odd reverse way, but I just thought that was funny. So let's jump into the AstraZeneca discussion, seeing as how this is the main point of today. And I wanted to start off with something that you guys are, I'm sure, remember. A recent interview with James Corbett and Whitney Webb exploring the Oxford AstraZeneca eugenics link. Just bumped my microphone if you heard that. Now, this is a really, really great conversation. Now, I also recommend you check out work that Whitney's done both on Unlimited Hangout as well as The Last American Vagabond, specifically around eugenics and even more specifically around Oxford AstraZeneca and the eugenics link. But I just want to play a clip for you about something that she said on this. And it's actually the clip that he uses to open this, but I want to let it flesh out a bit and just let you hear this before we go through all of the things that are happening right now with all of the different countries that have 20, if you read the title, 20 plus, that have now said that they're going to pull back on this vaccine while the WHO is going, no, keep using it. And even reprimanding countries, you shouldn't be doing that. It's just, it's crazy. But take a listen. And those on Instagram, you can hear it. Take a listen to what Whitney has to say.
Project, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's pretty amazing. There are other groups beside that are also, you know, tied to this older phase of the eugenics movement that have rebranded recently, like Engender Health being one that's partnered with the Gates Foundation. They used to be called, I believe, the Sterilization League for Human Betterment, and are now Engender Health. And funding, you know, birth control in, you know, developing nations in Africa and South Asia with the Gates Foundation. So this rebranding is something that's happened to a big extent. But the Galton Institute is really interesting because historically it was very enmeshed with British and also American elite circles. And it really continues to be that way to a big degree. I mean, even if you go and look at the governance, it's very well-placed. Professors and elite circles of academia in the UK, you have people from King College London, Imperial College, Oxford University, you know, the Wellcome Centers, which are well-regarded and things like this, all, you know, all over its board. Even David J. Galton teaches at a prestigious university in London, despite the fact that his most recent book is called Eugenics, the Future of Humanity for the 21st Century, where he talks about, thanks to the Human Genome Project, we have so many tools for DNA manipulation that now we can genetically edit people for their betterment, even without them, you know, knowing, and for their public health and all of this stuff. And
think about how crazy related that is to what we're talking about right now. These very people that are tied to this vaccine are the people talking about, you know, without their knowledge. Like, it's just, this is the kind of stuff that is right in front of you, right in your face. And people will just go, oh, but that I was told was conspiracy theory. So we'll just ignore it without even looking into the information or digesting the facts. It's just, it's really crazy.
You know, he leaves it up to whether this should be compulsory by the state or left up to the individual. You know, I wonder what they'll choose. And it's really interesting also that the Wellcome Trust actually recently funded a paper that essentially argued that as long as eugenics isn't coercive, it's acceptable policy. This is something that these people still believe and they still advocate for. So the fact that this vaccine with these ties is being marketed specifically to developing countries, and that's the focus of these eugenicist linked people's research for decades, I mean, it makes you kind of wonder. And also the fact that they're getting this PR spin on top of it, that they're, you know, the good guys in the vaccine campaign and all of this is really sick when you actually figure out what's going on. So
The thing about that that's so important, and this is the part of their this moral righteousness that's being given to profit-driven pharmaceutical companies. I mean, it's just so incredibly counterintuitive, and it's just because the mainstream has framed them as being the, you know, fighting for you in the big pandemic, and this is the new war front, right? They are the new heroes of that war front. Where what's funny how we're sort of the health of the nurses at first, and oh, but then 60% of them didn't want their thing. So now it's all these pharmaceutical companies fighting for the new vaccine war front. It's what it feels like. And it's clear. I think we can all see that that's very obviously something that's being driven is to make you feel okay with things that you shouldn't otherwise be okay with, which brings us to the main point from the defender. 20-plus countries suspend the use of AstraZeneca vaccine, but regulators insist benefits outweigh the risks. Reads that more than 20 countries have either suspended or said that they will delay Oxford AstraZeneca vaccinations based on reports of deaths or injuries, in most cases related to blood clots in healthy people who received the vaccine. Now, this is what's important because we keep talking about the blood clots, the strokes that we've seen, quite a few, of course, that are just totally disconnected from this because we can't make a connection. Well, here's your connection. Prosecutors in Northern Italy announced Monday they had seized a batch of 393,600 shots of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine following the death of a 57-year-old man hours after he was vaccinated. Right? I mean, that falls into that category of, you know, right afterward, despite Fauci saying it's within 15 to 45 days, but the media now says if it doesn't happen right away, then it's not really what we can assume is associated with the vaccine. As always, contradictory. Now, since the WHO has previously said that an ongoing analysis by its vaccines advisory committee has not established a causal link between the vaccine and blood clots, and countries should keep using it. So you realize what they're saying right there. So we don't know. We can't prove that it's not causing this, and we can't prove that it is causing this. So while we don't know if it's safe or not, go ahead and keep using it. Does that sound in any way, shape, or form like safety or erring on the side of safety or any of that kind of the kind of thing they keep telling us? No, that is, we want the vaccine. That's the important part of this. And until we prove that it's dangerous, keep using it. Think about that. That's the literal opposite of what we're trying. That's like the idea in this country of, you know, innocent until proven guilty, and then finding out the reality is you're guilty until proven innocent. It's the exact opposite. The AstraZeneca vaccine, not yet approved for emergency use in the United States, which already should make that should be that well, this should be over at that point, the conversation, is being distributed under WHO's COVAX program funded by Bill Gates. The company plans to file for emergency use authorization with the US FDA in the upcoming weeks. That's not a joke. So while we have 20 countries that are saying, understand this, 20 countries have suspended this because they're looking into it. That's the truth. And they wouldn't do that if they didn't have reason to think that there might be something there. It's not fair to report this as they all think it's unsafe and that's why they stopped it. Now, that may be the case, but we know that they just suspended it because they thought there was enough reason to be like, well, okay, wait a minute. We need to look into this because that says something right there. Even though all the main guys out there, WHO and the US country as the government as it is, saying, nope, it's all good. And now they're going, well, we might even authorize this for this country. Now, here's an important point. I doubt this will resolve in the next few weeks. So in the upcoming weeks, if the US government does, the FDA does give an emergency authorization to a vaccine that is currently being studied and investigated by 20 countries for risk of serious adverse events, that will show us all we need to know. On top of the 1,000 other examples that have already shown us all we need to know. But that will be a big one. So talking about the 20 country, well, first, technically, I wanted to make a point here with what Off Guardian had to tweet about. And this is something I've said repeatedly on this show. If they want to define a COVID-19 death as, quote, dying within 60 days of a positive test, fine. But then anyone who dies within 60 days of getting the vaccine is considered a vaccine death. I mean, this is their point, and I agree. Either they both make sense or neither one does. They can't have it both ways. And of course, this is how somebody responded. You really think that people hit by buses, murdered by their spouse, or drowning within 60 days of a test are being listed as COVID-19 death? Really? And I responded by, you just missed the point completely, man. Like, they're not arguing that we should do that. They're saying that the logic applies both ways. And if one doesn't make sense, neither does the other one. See, they just can't wrap their mind around that. And what's really interesting about it is take his comment and apply it to the other way. Do you really think that, okay, what is the argument, right? So they define a COVID-19 death as dying within 60 days, right? So do you really think that somebody hit by a bus, murdered by their spouse, or drowned within 60 days of a COVID? The idea is you can't apply it both ways, and they are doing so. The doctor that said that motorcycle accident, we've talked about this numerous times, and this is a very real, obvious mainstream media example. He said on the record, we don't know that it wasn't the COVID-19 that made him crash and die. So will err on the side of safety. That's exactly the same point. A car crash or somebody who is completely like this has been, there's been so many examples and we've had numerous examples where they state that simply somebody that just died, even though their clear case was from fill in the blank. If they died with COVID, we're going to name it a COVID-19 death. And they said that so many times over. So this is illogical. They know that though. And they will only apply it the way that works for them, which is really frustrating. Now, going back to the point, which countries have stopped using AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine? Now, let's just go through them and list them off. So they're on the record and so you guys can see them for yourselves. You can read more through this. Latvia, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Luxembourg, Cyprus, Portugal, Slovenia, Indonesia, the Netherlands, Ireland, Bulgaria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Thailand, Romania, Iceland, Denmark, Norway, Austria have all independently on their own information made the choice independently to suspend this based on the fact that they've seen enough to suggest that there might be something dangerous happening here. So think about that for a second. 20 plus countries and their independent health regulatory agencies have independently decided based on their personal info, not everybody else's. They're not all looking at the same binder. They have their personal experience in the country. And they're looking at it and going, okay, this justifies putting a pause on. 20 plus countries and their regulatory agencies, and the WHO is going, nah, screw all that, just keep using it. I mean, there's no way that that makes sense. The simple fact that one country and their entire regulatory agency would go, wait a minute, at a time when it's almost impossible to say we should wait on this vaccine without being called a conspiracy theorist should be enough. 20 of them, more than 20 of them should be, it should be as comical as this appears in a very macabre and alarming way. This is what's happening, though. Italy, in fact, has opened a manslaughter case after a teacher dies hours after getting AstraZeneca vaccine. A manslaughter case. But yeah, let's pretend like this is just to be safe, or you know, the way that they're trying to frame it, the WHO and the EU particularly. Clearly, people at some level within these governments and their regulatory agencies are concerned and think there's more being done here. If a manslaughter case has been started, prosecutors in Italy have launched a manslaughter investigation after a music teacher there died hours after getting the controversial AstraZeneca COVID-19 experimental injection. Sandro Tognati, 57 years old, got hit the experimental injection in his hometown of Belia, probably mispronouncing that, on Saturday afternoon, and went to bed that night with a high fever, his wife told the Italian media. Now, she called an ambulance the next morning, but the clarinetist, he was a musician, it seems, could not be saved. Prosecutors in the northern Italian region of Piedmont opened the probe into his death later that day, according to the Italian wire service. They also seized nearly 400,000 shots of the vaccine because of this. All right, so what do they know that WHO doesn't know? Are they just that bad at their jobs? Are they all conspiracy theorists? Are they all anti-science, anti-vaxxers? Or are they looking at data that suggests that this is a very real concern? And the WHO and the EU and the United States governments don't care. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but if you're unwilling to ask that question with the history of these governments and what we've already seen thus far, that's a choice. That's a choice to stay uninformed, misinformed. Now, as Alex Bernison points out, by the way, the European AstraZeneca suspension is an even bigger deal than it seems because Germany et al. Are already short on Pfizer and Moderna doses. So they are tacitly acknowledging that they aren't worried about leaving much of their populations unvaccinated for several months. Quite interesting to think about. But the point being that COVID-19, the European regulator remains, quote, firmly convinced. Think about saying that with 20 plus countries pointing out their concern. They say we're, quote, firmly convinced of the benefits of this vaccine, which, by the way, doesn't necessarily suggest that they're saying it's safe, keep using it, but they're just saying it's the what we think it does, we're certain about that. A little interesting, though. But the point being is continuing to get people to think that we can still use it, even though these people are stopping it, as the WHO is saying the country should still be administering the AstraZeneca vaccine after several countries have suspended it. They're telling you, point blank, as of the 15th, yesterday, you should still be taking this thing. until we find out if it's safe, until we look into it in the meantime, because it's for your safety, because that it makes sense. But as I pointed out, what they said is, you know, that they should still be using it. I'm responding to this tweet. And I said, what? So the WHO is now reprimanding governments who are acting in the interest of the safety of their people? Like, it doesn't mean they're right. Of course they could be wrong. But they're doing it in the interest of just-in-case safety, how it really should be done. Not saying this nebulous, unseen thing is so dangerous that will be really dangerous because that thing's so dangerous. That's in the interest of your safety, though, such as rushing vaccines or doing things that hurt your life. But it's all in the interest of safety, though, doing terribly dangerous things for your safety because this thing we can't see is so dangerous. It's ridiculous. But this is the reality of that. The government sees something they're not sure about and they go, pause. Why? Well, because this thing is actually not that dangerous. And the data from the CDC continues to show us that while the media continues to scream how much fear you should be in. So the point is, there's no point of keeping this thing rushed out because we're not really in any kind of an emergency. So they're going, we're going to pause this because we're concerned. The WHO steps in and reprimands the governments for doing what their actual job should be, what they usually fail to do, which is act in the interest of their people, because they are doing so against the vaccine narrative. That's why they're doing it. How does literally everyone not see what that is? It's quite incredible. Now, also, BBC Breakfast says, we don't stop people getting on flights because of risks of clots. Ah, okay, so now you're admitting, I guess tacitly, that there are risks of clots, but they want you to keep using them, though, right? Keep using it anyway. Because there are risks of clots, except in the other articles, but we can't prove it though. There's no link at all that they even exist. But over here, they'll say, but we do it anyway on the airline. So who cares? That's what it looks like when you're trying to argue for anything to sell your agenda. Arguing on both sides of the argument, because vaccine, right? The Netherlands has suspended the use of the Oxford vaccine after a small batch of people in Norway reported blood clotting. Just a small little batch though. Who cares about those people? But we care about every life on other parts of the conversation. Oh, and on top of that, Donald Trump recommends supporters get the COVID vaccine. I just want to make sure we understand that this is not just Biden. It's not just Biden and his secret little China pact of whatever the two-party illusionists are spinning these days. They're all part of the government illusion. They're all part of the agenda, guys. That's the point. Your government. It's not some faction of Russians running Trump in the government. No, it's not just Biden and this and the government. It's the government. It's all of it. And it's abusing you by getting you thinking the other side is the problem when it's really all of it that is the problem. Take a listen to what Trump had to say.
President, I know that you received the vaccine. Mrs. Trump also got the vaccine. Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would. I would recommend it. And I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, you know, again, we have our freedoms, and we have to live by that, and I agree with that also. But
Mr. President, I know that you received the vaccine. Mrs. Trump also got the vaccine. Would you recommend...
Repeating, so this is how a lot of his supporters will tend to play these things, even during his administration, and even now, despite clearly seeing that they were played, whether Trump was part of it or not, throughout all of this, is that they'll go, well, he talked about freedom, though. So it's like, give up your freedoms or do this dangerous thing because the government wants you to, but you know, freedom, you know, that is giving you what you want to hear. So it's like taking your medicine with a little bit of sugar on top. Like it's not, that's a deception. Trump is part of it. He's pushing the vaccine just like the rest of them are. And it's something that ultimately you have every right to be concerned about. The fact that he pointed out that I would recommend it for some people that don't want it, that's a really odd thing to say right there. She just said, would you recommend it? He goes, yes, I recommend it for everybody. He had to call out the people that are being resistant because they wanted him to do so. I just hope we recognize that. It's all a big push to get the vaccine. That's it at all costs, it would seem. Now, I also want to point something out here. As I said, and this is after Germany halts the AstraZeneca vaccine, and now that was on the 15th, we're at 20 plus countries now, so add that to the tally. I said the fact that Whitney and I have been censored for expressing legitimate concern over the safety of this vaccine, even while numerous nations have stopped its use, quote, due to concerns over serious side effects, exposes the deliberate cover-up of the truth. I mean, more so for Whitney at this point, because she wrote specifically about that topic. And this is why I made it even more specific. Again, after Italy seizes this batch. I said, will Patreon admit that they were wrong and reinstate Whitney's account now? I doubt whether even we want that at this point, but the point is they should, because they're obviously incorrect, or didn't care whether they were or not, but something tells me they won't. Hashtag sellouts, hashtag cowards. Patreon, they have shown you what they're about. Now, there's plenty of people that could care less about censorship and are going to continue to use that platform, but it will quickly become the opposite of what it could have been or what it was, and just become another mainstream dumping grounds for propaganda. That's frustrating, because they pretended to be the good thing, but that was probably the whole point. Clearly, Whitney is being shown to be correct, and they just don't care. I just think that's incredible. But don't worry, though, because they're going to constantly keep pumping you full of propaganda, like, don't freak out about the weird COVID vaccine side effects, whatever weird could mean, whatever you think the weirdest thing could be. They're like, oh, that thing, that could just be a good thing. That's actually what it says. That may actually be a good sign. Do you know how incredibly dangerous this is? So you got somebody out there that has something really weird, like some very, very abnormal, uncomfortable feeling. And that's usually a sign that something's wrong. Right? When you get that feeling and something you've never felt, you know it. When your body gets to a point to where something is really alarming starts happening, you immediately go, something's wrong. But maybe they're going to go, well, they said something weird could happen and it probably is a good sign, so I'll just wait this out. Like that lady with the bee pollen allergy that almost went home because she was afraid to be one of the people showing side effects in the vaccines. And if the nurse hadn't made her stay there, she would have died. But that's okay though. Right? We're willing to let them think that they shouldn't be clear about the side effects because it's a good sign, though. And then kind of subtly beneath that, if you do, you're a conspiracy theorist. That's the point. This is what medical misinformation looks like. How in the world could they possibly know? What if you think what if you have a weird side effect? It's not a good sign. But you sit there because you think, well, they told me it's probably a good thing. How could you possibly know what side effect everyone's dealing with and whether it's a good sign? This is so dangerous. It says, quote, it's your immune system being trained like elite Navy SEALs. What, everybody everywhere? How can you possibly make such a broad statement about everyone's possible side effects? This is Dr. Peter Chin Hong. I feel bad for his patients. A professor of medicine at UCSF. That's also been apparently glossed in the gospel of vaccines. Unbelievable. But on top of that, don't worry, because they can see we don't want this, right? 60% of healthcare workers, a third of the military, everybody pushing back, canceling vaccines, you know, suspending their process because we're concerned about the danger. But don't worry, the White House is going to use $1.5 billion of your money, even though you've made it clear you don't want this, to win you over with your money, which otherwise translates to a massive propaganda campaign to scare you or manipulate you into getting the thing that you're very clear about not wanting. How many times will they be allowed to use our money to propagandize us about something that clearly within our rights we are refusing? Doesn't matter. They'll keep doing it to win over vaccine. The skeptics. No, we are people that are saying absolutely not, because we don't trust your intentions. It's not about the vaccine technology or any of that. I mean, it is to a degree. It's about the fact that we don't trust what's happening. So they're going to take your money and continue to propagandize you. Is that what freedom is like? I thought we got to choose what we know. See, this is the illusion, right? We need to begin to see this. Now it says the White House will soon launch a major $1.5 billion relations campaign to promote COVID-19 vaccination and ease the concerns of Americans who are skeptical or hesitant to get their shots. So he's doing this for you, guys. He's going to take another $1.5 billion from you, even though they just took trillions from you anyway and didn't help you really at all. We're going to take that almost $1.5 billion to ease your concerns. By doing what? Showing you full information and full source material? Nope. By continuing to yell at you that it's safe and effective in 1,000 different ways. The effort, which will kick off within weeks, will use TV, radio, and digital means to get this, target youth Americans, young Americans, people of color, and Republicans. Who may be more likely to be hesitant or ambivalent about getting vaccinated. So we'll just leave out the Democrats then, because there's not an entire group. Like, this is what's so frustrating, is that this is just meant to divide people. Right now, there's just as many Republicans as there is Democrats, in my opinion, in my experience, that are clearly concerned about this. And I know that doesn't seem to jive with what we're hearing out there or what we think we know about the two-party system, but it's quite interesting. Just do your own little, I mean, I feel like most people will admit they want it, or people will say they are along, whatever. But if we really get into the skeptics of it all, I find you'll find just as many on both sides right now that are equally concerned about this. That's what we're just going to aim it at, people of color and Republicans. And the article goes on to point out that even people of color in their recent polls have been shown to not be the resistance the way they say they are. But it's just, I wonder why they continue to focus in on the people of color. It's interesting, telling. The campaign will also educate Americans on where and how they can get vaccinated, and is expected to deploy celebrities and trusted local officials who some Americans may trust more than messengers from the Biden administration. So we'll trot out a bunch of actors who will say and do what we pay them to do, like dancing monkeys, because you'll trust them. What does that say about you, America? I mean, this is just so transparent, and it all rests on the idea that, well, because vaccines are good and we know they are. It's just not true. At the very least, is completely unverified and challenged by a lot of very highly educated, well-versed experts in the field. More money out of your pocket when you can't feed your family to turn around and scream back at you about things you already heard 1,000 times over. Now, on top of that, they're saying, well, is it safe during pregnancy to get vaccinated? Yes. And that's what you're being told right now during this. And understand, this is talking about just COVID vaccines. Now, it says, what does it mean for you if you're pregnant and recently had a baby? Can I get the COVID vaccine if I'm pregnant? Well, the answer is, being pregnant won't disqualify you, they say, from receiving the vaccine. Right? It won't disqualify you. However, all COVID-19 vaccines are available in limited quantities. Right? So again, they're always underselling this, like, we're so in short supply, that's why we're saying, no, nobody's taking this thing. And again, that is verified by the companies themselves that have said, we have more, and they're just not, it's an illusion. And it says some states have opened vaccination to those with certain underlying conditions, often including pregnancy. So they've opened it up to people that are pregnant, despite having no studies to show that it's safe for people that are pregnant. I love how that's the first thing they argue, or they talk about. Can you get it? Sure. Go right ahead. You could do what you want, except you can't, though, if you wanted to go get like hydroxychloroquine or something else. You know, and I'm not arguing you should. I'm not advocating for any big pharma drugs, ivermectin or whatever you want to talk about, remdesivir. The point is, you can't just go out and try what you want. This is the idea, but that's not the case. It's only within the vaccine world. Is the COVID-19 vaccine safe if you're pregnant or breastfeeding? It says, while all available COVID-19 vaccines have been proven safe and effective. That's what it says. While they're still being studied. And it goes on to say that right after that statement. You talk about social engineering. It says, while all available COVID-19 vaccines have been proven safe and effective in people who are not pregnant, which is simply not true, clinical trials, and this is important for all the people that keep screaming about how only the efficacy trials are ongoing. Clinical trials are only just now getting underway to address their safety and efficacy during pregnancy. Hey, can we just put to bed this absurd and childish and ignorant claim that safety trials have been over forever? They're still, and it says it next about children, guys, they're currently testing safety on a whole different grouping of the population, as well as continuing phases of other people that we talked about before. It says, in other words, there is currently no firm safety data available to know for sure whether these vaccines are safe for people who are pregnant or breastfeeding. But go ahead and take it, though. That's actually what they're saying. And this is always under the guise that because COVID is the most dangerous thing we've ever seen, that it's okay to risk that. But that's not true. Like, I don't understand how this block is still there. The CDC data is showing us that that's not true. And yet we still pretend like it's so dangerous that these kind of risks are acceptable. How is this even possible? It continues. Leading experts from the CDC, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine note that mRNA vaccines will, like the ones from Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna, do not contain any live virus, and therefore are not thought to pose a risk to unborn babies or nursing infants. So this is, again, applying the logic that they have from different types of vaccines to this vaccine, and saying, well, that's the only thing we're concerned about in this other completely different technique and scientific and technological type of vaccine. So if it's not happening on this other completely different vaccine, working in an entirely different realm of science, then it must be safe. How is this kind of logic working for anybody? So sure, it doesn't have any live virus, at least so we're told. But it's also a completely new genetically modified vaccine that can absolutely have effects on your body that we have yet to find out. Because it's still being tested and because it's experimental and because, by the way, that the NIH still says on its website as of January 2021, an experimental NIH vaccine. But we keep pretending that's not experimental. Even Fauci had a problem saying that because you're being the narrative is being cultivated. You are being constantly socially engineered with what they want you to think. It's just disgusting that they're talking about testing on unborn babies, or excuse me, on pregnant women and on children in general, which, by the way, is also happening. We just announced that the first participants have been dosed in the phase 2-3, dosed already, called the Kid Cove study. Kid Cove study of mRNA-1273, which, by the way, again, was the very first one we're talking about here. The one that China sent the genetic material via computer on January 11th and January 13th, Moderna had already begun testing this. But sure, they isolated it and tested it. Oh, yeah, just you keep telling yourself that whole rigmarole because it didn't happen. Our vaccine candidate against COVID-19 in children ages 6 months to less than 12 years. 6 months. You realize that kids have a 0% chance of getting sick or dying from this, according to the CDC right now. But we're going to test on them with something that's experimental because this is so dangerous that wait, how does that even work? If they're not at risk, how can you argue the risk is so severe that we're willing to risk this danger of something tested while they have a 0% chance of being hurt? I mean, just even the asymptomatic does not work because the British Medical Journal themselves have stated that there's basically zero risk. 10 million people studied in China. It's almost non-existent. British Medical Journal, as always, another site that we're a source that they're telling us we should be listening to. Experts. I love that. Corbett always has a heyday with that. Experts, colon. Which ones? Who cares? Just experts say vaccinating kids key to pandemic's end. You starting to get the picture, guys? So how in the world is vaccinating? Okay, because what they're going to try to argue is that because kids, and this is what it says right here, children under age 18 make up nearly a quarter of the population. By crude calculations, okay, we're starting off real well, without vaccinating kids, it would be impossible to vaccinate 80% of the population. Now, I'm not even sure. I don't even know how that makes sense, first of all, but let's just take their backward math at face value. As prescribed, it says, by Dr. Anthony Fauci to hit herd immunity and the end of the pandemic. So how is by not vaccinating a quarter of the population somehow mean you can't vaccinate 80%? I mean, I'll just let you play with that for a minute. But nonetheless, the point is, they're arguing until we can vaccinate the kids, somehow this won't stop. Despite the fact that they don't seem to be affected whatsoever, that asymptomatic transmission seems to be literally non-existent. So how exactly are they the ones that are stopping? They don't even try to explain. It's just under the same guise I just told you. COVID's that dangerous, asymptomatic discussion here and there. Or the fact that they can still spread it and they're the ones that quietly do it because asymptomatic. They always come back to the asymptomatic illusion. But kids vaccinated, key to pandemic's end. It's just about getting all of you injected. Now, disclosed TV reports just in, French authorities are warning of another COVID mutation because this will never end. This time, a variant has been discovered that apparently, get ready for it, escapes the detection of the PCR test. Not a joke. So they tested, it wasn't there. So that means the variant was unable to be found by the PCR test. Not that it didn't exist, or not that it's something else, or not that any number of things. It just has to be a new, it has to be a new variant because variants and because danger and because this thing keeps going, right? As I said earlier today, endless wars meet endless pandemics. Now, the World Health Organization has placed this new strain in the category of, quote, variant under investigation due to its bypassing PCR tests. And as I said, laughing at this is the appropriate response. This is absurd. Oh, and it's right here. Endless wars meet endless pandemics. And you'll find in the comment section how utterly absurd people find this. Just left and right. People laughing. It's somebody says maybe they should try a flu test. It's just, this is becoming comical in a very alarming way. But here's another point. As this New York Post says, COVID-19 test accuracy, so the accuracy of the PCR test that's already wildly inaccurate may actually vary by the time of day, studies show. And Activist Post writes, they have no idea what WTF they're doing. They never did. And this is what doom. Oh, that's just funny. It's funny. For those on the Instagram, you're going to have to watch the show to find out. But that's funny because it's exactly how you should feel. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is getting, it's already absurd and it's next level ridiculous. But speaking of the tests being ridiculous, let's have a listen to what Dr. Fauci had said about the test a while back, which I very much find very relevant. I believe, I'll make sure I didn't have that downloaded before I go to this. Looks like it. I don't know if that's it, so I'm just going to add a new one. 1 second. Let's see. Here we go.
I want to take a look at this picture. You actually touched the same podium. I'm sure you've seen this in microphone as the president and other CEOs, even at the same time. The vice president has taken a test for coronavirus. He tested negative, or the president has tested negative, I should say.
So clearly you can tell this is from Trump and Pence's administration. So that's that dates it for you.
Has Vice President Pence, have you taken a test? Are you going to take a test?
No. Well, I'm not taking a test for the summer reason. I have no symptoms.
Okay, wait a minute. I can't even believe I didn't hear about where. How did this not spread? I mean, I'm sure it did. I just must have missed it. Did he literally just say that, well, I've got no symptoms? And this wasn't that long ago. That you've got no symptoms, so you shouldn't get a test? I mean, that fundamentally undermines the entire narrative about why we should keep testing. Asymptomatic and the whole damn thing. But he's, I don't got any symptoms, so that's crazy. Doesn't that just make you want to scream? Because that is exactly the opposite of what we're now being told. That, well, everybody should be tested just in case. And that, of course, drove the illusion of the cases. One rule for thee and another for me, right? This is how it keeps going. Nah, I don't have any symptoms and I do this, so I'm safe all the time. Okay. So apparently Fauci gets to make his own personal decisions. He's got agency of his life, but not you. You have to listen to what he tells you, which is the opposite of what he's doing.
I have not. I'm practicing pretty good social distancing. I don't.
Oh, pretty good. Well, what about the people that have been in their house the entire time without seeing another person the whole time? No, you got to stay in there because just in case. I'm pretty good social distancing. It's just crazy. Like, it's just so the way that they treat us about how this is just like the most severe thing ever and we're all going to die and the cavalier way that that's being discussed, it just bothers me.
But it's hard to fully do it as we
But not everybody in the United States should take a test. I mean, I have.
Again, that's exact. That is literally the opposite of what we were told by, I would make probably even Fauci later down the line, the same way that masks shouldn't be worn. It doesn't give you the effects you think it does. And then later saying, do it all because everyone's going to die if you don't wear the thing that I previously told you didn't do anything for you.
No symptoms. There's no reason for me to take a test. If I'm in a
situation. Just hear that again. No symptoms. No reason for me to take a test. Make sure you play this for somebody next time they scream that you should be doing all the things the government
tells. Situation where I'm at a higher risk, I will take a test. The picture you showed about the microphone, let's get real here. I mean, there are certain things that you have to do. If I left.
Okay. So let's get real. So certain things you have to do, right? So it's okay that you break the rules and touch Trump's hand and then don't do anything about it. But we can do that and we'll be contact traced for the rest of our lives or on and on and on. Like it's just, this counteracts. I mean, I can make the point over and over. It really does. And it frustrates me. I'm sure you can tell. One point after the next, he continues to contradict what we keep being told.
The microphone at that, you would see nothing but the microphone.
Oh, so it's more important that you move the microphone for TV's sake, right, Ricky? I mean, think about what he's just saying right there. Like it's because the microphone was there, we had to move it, right, guys? So that's more important than what? Not dying from the most dangerous thing ever. And that's obviously not what I think. That's what they keep saying. But the microphone and camera was more important than not dying from the pandemic.
Am I putting my two fingers to get the microphone down? Isn't that bad? So I don't think we should make something of that. I'd like to see people more doing this as opposed to shaking hands.
Right. Now, just again, to be clear, I am not trying to say what, you know, I'm being facetious with that argument. The point is that that's what they keep saying. And he's just downplaying it because the same thing as Newsom and them go out and do what they just told you not to do. And they go, oh, you know, I have to work out, though, because I have to keep my choice, my mind fit for you or whatever. You know, it's just it's insulting. It always has been. It's just they just don't care about you and they're willing to lie to you left and right. Now, I want to bring this point back up again, just for us to think about. Right. if they want to define a COVID-19 death as dying within 60 days of a positive test, fine. But then anyone who dies within 60 days of getting the vaccine is a vaccine death. Either they both make sense or neither does. They cannot have it both ways, but they sure as hell will try. Now, to end with the flu discussion, I just want, and this is a great article from Real Climate Science, and it's just really a quick thing. It just shows you the flu has been the scourge of humanity for thousands of years, but COVID-19 appears to have cured it. Now, that image is not, this is ridiculous. Now, I've shown you this many times on the show, many times, as early as right in the beginning of all of this, to make a reference to what we were seeing before it started, which was this. In fact, it was this, right? We're going right here. January, December, look at that. Now that is that's crazy. That got really bad, which is alarming. And I was making the point before to argue that possibly this was what we were seeing circulate here before we claimed it was seen somewhere else. Maybe because it leaked from Fort Detrick, maybe because they've leaked things so many times in the past, one leak every 3 days for 7 years, according to their own reports, things like Ebola and, you know, but sure, couldn't have been that. But, you know, this story has definitely evolved. Right. I mean, I'm beginning to find it hard to believe that could be in the case with how little this seems to be affecting when you actually clearly look at the numbers. Doesn't mean I'm still closed off to this point. There's a lot going on here. But nonetheless, the point was looking at this and seeing how crazy for those on the podcast or on Instagram, it's just you can see the country on the flu map and it's just red and purple and like very severe. It's more severe that year than almost any year I've seen before. Which shows you either something else was going on or, you know, however you want to look at it. But you can see as of March, which is right here, March 14th, it's really bad. Really bad. This is 2019. Then you jump over to now, and this is insulting. This is gone. Like you can go back and you see, okay, now we got a couple things changing. A little bit of light green, and then all the rest green, which means basically nothing. But you go to today, and it's just this green, and then there's even white areas, which means insufficient data. So there's just all the same color green. It's just gone. Flu doesn't exist anymore, which is really dumb at the end of the day because of what we actually know. Now, here it shows influenza associated pediatric deaths by week of death 2017-18 season all the way to 2021. Take a look. For those in the podcast, it's really high, 2017-18, a little bit lower, 18-19, even higher, 2019-2020, and then gone. 2021, nothing. The entire year, there's one small spike, gone. So we can only assume that either anyone that died from this was called a COVID-19 death, or somehow it was magically cured. And if so, how? Their argument right out of the gate, which was just really dumb, and they clearly didn't think through, well, because masks and because distancing, it's working so well. Look at that. And then next day they go, you guys aren't masking or distancing, and that's why COVID is exploding, which was happening at the same time. And they really made both arguments simultaneously, and it was insulting to your intelligence, like so much of this discussion. But finally, it says the 1819 edition of Encyclopedia Britannica said that flu normally has a 2% mortality rate, but can be much higher. This is a, remember, 1819 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. But it's generally saying a 2% mortality rate or much higher, which is not too crazy different than what we're hearing today, but it's a good point to think about because it says the official statistics for COVID-19 are that it has killed 0.03% of the world's population. Quote, the mortality is generally reckoned at about 2% flu, but when an extensive epidemic prevails, even this proportion is sufficient to swell the death rate largely. Now, the point is, even that 0.03 number about people that have died, remember, that is guaranteed to be overshot at their own admission because they're saying we're erring on the side of safety, right? Even if someone dies from so-and-so, if they just had it with them or even had a positive test, which in and of itself could be false. As even they admit on the CDC's website, 30%. So even that, you know, but they get the test. We say they had it. Then they die from something else with the test or with it. We call it a death for COVID-19. Then you talk about the combination of pneumonia and influenza that they combine with the numbers for COVID, which the CDC says right on their website. You can call it secondary or not, but nonetheless, we know there's some of them are being there, which again, is why this is no longer, flu is gone. That's why. So if even 0.03% is guaranteed to be more than what it actually is, that's ridiculous. here we are, shutting down your entire life based on things that we literally know based on their statistics, which even then is probably way less, is not even close to what we're being told. But don't worry, because here's what Biden is, their administration is doing for you.
Our Commander-in-Chief, President Joe Biden.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. It's hard to be what you can't see. Hard to be what you can't see, but you'll soon see.
That's not a joke, by the way. Just so we're clear, he's saying he's misreading. Clear, you could tell. There's no, unless he's just, I mean, you could argue he's not enunciating, but he's saying, he misread. He's saying it's, you can't be what you can't be what you can't see. And he said it again. You can't be what you can't see. And that's what he says. And you'll see soon, because he misunderstood what he was saying. This is your president.
It's hard to be what you can't see.
He said be. Like, let's be honest. He said it's hard to be what you can't see.
It's hard to be what you can't see.
Again.
But you'll soon see.
But you'll soon see. Now, imagine he actually was saying it's hard to beat what you can't see. But you'll soon see. Does that make sense? That you can now see the virus, apparently? I mean, it's just obviously misunderstood. And it's just frustrating that this is what we're actually living with. This is like a skit. This is like the Babylon Bee personified, and we're living it right now. It's ridiculous. But this is what they're doing to make sure that you're safe, though. Needless, incessant show. This is TSA theater on a worldwide display for you to make you feel like you're being safe while they go back and do whatever the hell they want. Now, I'm just going to leave you. Now, funny enough, I don't know whether it stopped or what, but I'm new to Instagram in general. I thought this was streaming for you guys. Maybe it's not. You guys can tell me, but I'll make sure I'll do that in the future so you guys can possibly watch that behind the scenes. But I want to finish today with something very interesting. And it is a clip, and I'm just going to play this on the way out for you guys. And I want you to listen to this, though. This is a clip from a guy from, it's a Norwegian person who is telling you that the government of the United States, your government, if you live in this country, is now taxing him, a Norwegian citizen, if American people watch his YouTube videos and he makes money from it. Never been in the United States, or I mean, maybe he has at some point, but he's from Norway. He is not an American. He has no American citizenship. He's only operating in his country, and he's playing videos from his country. And the United States government believes it has the right. Not, remember, this isn't just Google or YouTube. They're allowing it to happen, which is also disgusting. But the U.S. government believes it has the right to step in and say, well, because these Americans are watching your content, you have to pay us. I couldn't believe that. I mean, actually, I could believe it. It doesn't surprise me at all. But it really needs to show you the kind of hubris, the kind of maniacal, what's the right word for it? Like this is a sort of like, they see the world as their playground. They own all of this. That's why they're casting sanctions on who they want. And they're totally acting as the world's police, even though nobody wants that to be the case, acting like they're reluctant to do so. The reluctant hero. Oh, I didn't want to murder all those people. It was for your freedom. It's just crazy. And we need to recognize that if they're willing to do this to an individual in another country and their government's willing to allow it, that we're in a really dangerous position. And it's time for both people from all of the, from Norway, anywhere, people around the world that recognize not just that the US government, but the Israeli government, the French government, the UK government, that all these governments are right now doing everything they can to take what's yours. Got to do something to stop it, guys. Never advocating for violence. And you know that. But I got to say that just for obvious reasons, because I do not want. I don't believe it's actually going to bring any change, but also because that we don't need to give many more excuses to pretend like we're, you know, riling up another insurrection or whoever knows what they're going to try to build against us. But we'll keep going. I love you guys. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Hi there. I got a message from Google about Texas, and I think you might find it interesting. It sounds a bit boring, Texas, and, you know, Texas, that's boring, right? But this is very interesting. I now have to pay taxes to the USA for income that I earned on YouTube if the viewer is from the USA or is watching in the USA. Now, it's a bit complicated.
You know, I actually will add to that, right, for just a real quick moment. What about somebody who's an American citizen viewing this but not in the United States? We already know that you can leave the United States for, you've been gone for 20 years and you still have to pay taxes. They somehow think they have the right to your body, which should give you an insight on how they view you. Just an interesting thought.
Complicated, but I'm Norwegian. So the money I earn, I pay tax on that money here in Norway. But now I have to divide my income from YouTube into money earned from views in the USA and all the other money. All the other money will be taxed as Norwegian income, but from this is new. It's not been like this before. In the USA now, they demand that what I earn from viewers in the USA is American money, and I have to pay American tax on that, even though I'm Norwegian. Now, I'm not a tax expert. I've always viewed taxes as a pain in the, But this sounds a bit strange to me. I can't recall that it has been like this before. So
it's not happening by coincidence.
I'm tempted to say that what we're seeing now is your new government over in the USA looking at new places to get taxpayer dollars from. So even I, a Norwegian, must now pay American tax. So maybe they're a little bit desperate. Maybe they are a little bit greedy. Maybe they know that they're going to have to pay for lots of expenses because of the lockdowns, because of the, what shall we call it? There's a Swedish guy, he says the Vaseline, like petroleum jelly. You know what I'm talking about. I must be very careful because YouTube has taken down a video, given me a warning, and here on this channel. So, yeah, you know how it is. But anyway, a short video for you today. I just wanted to tell you this because I find it interesting. So if they're looking for taxpayer dollars over here, you know, from us here in Norway, where else are they looking? Are they turning every stone now to find more money for the state over in the USA? It's normally not a good sign.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride in public transportation, sir?
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself. But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
Just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right? Listen.
Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.